Welcome, everyone. You're listening to another edition of ILTA's popular Ask the Expert podcast series. I'm Christy Cole with ILTA, and I'm here with Heather Webster, the Global Head of IT Support and Relationship Management at Allen & Overy, LLP. Thank you for joining us, Heather.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Okay. Just to set the context for today's interview, it seems that we're seeing more firms expand their presence across international borders, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there will be local IT support staff in each office location. This presents both a challenge and an opportunity for innovation for those in a position to provide training and support to their firm's broad range of office locations and cultures. Heather, how many offices does your firm support, and which regions do they cover?
Well, Allen & Overy currently has 39 offices in 27 countries. We also have a network of relationship lawyers, so a relationship arrangement with other law firms in other countries. So we can truly say we're global.
And where are you primarily located?
I'm primarily located in the UK office, that's a London office, and around Central Western Europe, and which includes in that category the United Kingdom. There's about 70-odd% of the organisations there, but that's shifting as we become more and more present in opening new markets.
Great. Well, what are the biggest challenges of providing local support and training to your global range of offices?
One of the biggest challenges, and both training and support have this consideration, is trying to keep the changes that we make to our technology down to a minimum to ensure that customers, the lawyers, have the opportunity to continue working on the technology as long as possible. But certainly from a training perspective, a local training support, we have challenges around trainer coverage and availability. We don't have trainers in every office. Some trainers have dual roles. We have an issue particularly around in the larger offices of attendance and actually finding the right time to hold the training session so that the lawyer or the PA or the member of support staff can actually attend. And by doing that, we've actually now offered training at all times of the day, including breakfast and evening and chocolate things to work. So our training sessions are now bite-sized at 40 minutes a session, and that also seems to allow people to drop in, have a quick training session, and then go back to their desk. So that, but particularly around training, they've been quite inventive to try and encourage people to come along to the sessions. Around support, one of the concerns is actually keeping the guys who are actually on the ground up to date with changes around technology and all the projects that are being planned. And so to do that, we maintain a knowledge base which is global so that people can go in and look at particular topics. We try to have weekly calls to keep people up to date with all the changes that are coming through and also projects that are being approved, and obviously changes are coming through at a later date there. And also drop-in sessions that people can call into. Local support guys also have an issue, particularly around managing their workload, because they are at the front line and they have to react immediately to situations. So to try and help them, we do work on regional contract arrangements with suppliers. We've introduced a number of policies so that at least they can refer to the policies and the suppliers to help them when they're dealing with their customers. And we've also moved to a centralized service desk model so that calls to the service desk are taken from one location. And then if they relate to work that needs to be done in the particular office, they're then passed to that analyst who then does the work. So hopefully we're trying to overcome some of the challenges of providing local support, but we're still working on it.
Excellent. It certainly sounds like you're implementing a lot of different things to really balance that change and having to support that in all of your different offices. Expanding a little bit more on the training topic, did your training programs grow organically in various locations, or is there an overarching global strategy that governs your curriculum?
We have a standard image, which all offices have, and we also have standard working practices. So they cover the core elements of being a lawyer or being a PA within Allen & Overy. We're actually able to provide a set of training courses that will actually equip new joiners to become fully efficient within the organisation within a very short period of time. From our perspective, that's really great. What we are seeing, though, is that actually there's a blurring of roles. So it's role-based at the moment, our training. But we are finding now that the fee earner is probably doing as much typing as the secretary. So we're probably having to teach the fee earner, the lawyer, how to work within templates more so than we've had to in the past. And this is where a local trainer is very important to us, because they can actually tell us how the roles are changing and how training needs therefore need to change.
Which tools does your firm use to provide training and support on a global level?
Well, from a support perspective, I'm talking about the analysts who are actually working in the offices and things like that. We use a global service desk tool, and that records incidents. It also records major incidents, and it also provides a knowledge base for our analysts so that they can keep up to date with all the changes that are taking place within the organisation. And that gives them the information they need to then talk to people in their offices. We also use a remote access tool from the service desk perspective, which allows us to help our users when they're working outside the office to support them should they have problems with their home PC. And they're not a tool. They are extremely useful and very important to our organisation. We have local experts, so we actually train secretaries and PAs in the offices in particular specialisms. So if they have an interest in a particular area of IT, we train them. And then they're able to be our eyes and ears in the offices where there are no trainers or no IT support. Very important to those people. So from a training perspective, we have another global system that manages the requirements and the attendance of everybody on a training course globally. We have the ability to allow people to self-enroll on courses so they can actually self-develop using training courses which are available online. We also provide live training through remote access, so using technologies such as GoToMeeting or LiveMeeting. Trainers can be based in other offices and training newly joined staff on specific topics. And we also have something which we have developed and we use quite successfully, which is called IT Tips, which is our old-fashioned training tool of email. And we send it globally, one tip a week, and that's extremely successful because we highlight a problem that people might be experiencing, say how to use their BlackBerry, deleting emails from BlackBerry or purging emails, similar topics that everybody has encountered difficulties with, and we send those tips out. And they're generally very well received.
You certainly have a large system in place to tackle a lot of the different issues, and that is to be very, very helpful. Switching gears, do you encounter any common cultural misconceptions in your global work?
We do. I mean, but as an international law firm, we strive to eradicate that. But particularly when you work with an IT department, there's an awful lot of IT jargon. And we work hard to try and remove that from training and also to train the support staff that they don't use acronyms as well, because that only serves to confuse. So in order to try and prevent that happening, particularly around, say, the training tips I've talked about that go out globally, we actually have a governance process. So every training course that's designed, every knowledge base article that's written, it actually goes through a governance process of key number of individuals who are based around the globe who will check that documentation and make sure that we're not using IT jargon, and then they'll sign off and then we publicise it. So that's how we try and get around that issue. We also provide training in English mainly. Obviously, training has to be provided in local language as well. So there's a need to recognise that there are an awful lot of people within our organisation who don't necessarily speak English, so we need to allow the facility and time to develop training courses in other languages.
Definitely. Well, kind of going on to the skills that someone would need, are there any skills mm-hmm. or training that you recommend for staff who will be providing that global support and or training?
Yeah, there are. I have to say, I have been doing this for a few years now, so I've tripped over a few mistakes and learned from my own mistakes in the past. I think my one overarching comment would be always ensure that whoever's providing the support and the training locally is given training on how to train. It's quite often, or has been assumed in the past, that because individuals are good at their particular topics, their specialisms, that they can actually deliver that topic in the appropriate manner to train other people. And I've certainly found that's not necessarily the case, and actually we need to train people to present and to put across their topic, which they're so excited about, in the right way so that other people can understand that excitement and enthusiasm.
You mentioned this a little bit with being successful in your support and training. How do you measure success?
Well, around the support and training, success is measured in a number of ways. So training, we monitor the level of calls to the service desk, particularly around the how do I question, and analyse this data to understand where the issues are. And then we develop training courses and the IT tips where appropriate. We evaluate all training sessions, so the attendees complete feedback forms. And we also look at the number of training requests that are made to each trainer and also the number of cancellations that we receive and measure that, and we have SLAs in place around that. Around IT support, we use customer surveys. We have quarterly customer surveys which we send out to 10% of the population globally. We have customer surveys that when you've logged a call with the service desk, it sends randomly a questionnaire to 10 people per day asking them how their call was dealt with by the service desk. We walk the floors, we take feedback from partners, my superiors, and I have a team of relationship managers who also work for me, whose job is also to go out and get the temperature of how people feel about IT. So we try to cover it in lots of different ways to understand how the service is being delivered and how it's being received. And to date, we've been quite successful.
Yeah, that's excellent. There are firms out there that aren't implementing some of those ideas. I'm sure folks will be able to take one or two of those and possibly implement them at their firms. It does sound like you've found some secrets to make sure you're well-rounded in your feedback there. Well, I think that brings us to our end. So I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us, and a special thanks to Heather. We certainly appreciate your time and input.
My pleasure. Thank you.